Now, Homefront, the omnibus edition, covering the 22nd to the 26th of September 1914, the week when, 100 years ago, well-known suffragette Emmeline Pankhurst visited Folkestone and caused quite a stir among its inhabitants.
The 22nd of September, 1914. Adam Wilson.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Don't you like it?
It's nice, yeah. It is.
Adam?
Yeah?
I need you to deliver this washing to the Winwoods.
When?
In a minute, when it's folded. What?
Well, I didn't say nothing.
You coughed. You coughed like there was something. Is there something or not?
You could say that.
You could say what?
That there's something.
Albert, you're driving me mad. Do you know that?
I'll tell you later, all right?
Is it about the boys? Have you had news about Sam?
No, it's nothing like that.
Well, what is it then?
What is it?
It's nothing to do with you, that's
Oh, you've
for
got
sure.
me worried now. You've got me thinking all sorts.
Tell us, Dad.
Please, Albert.
I know that you lied.
I didn't lie.
Not you, her.
What?
I saw Norman Harris this morning.
Did you?
Huh. I said it was very good of you to send a car. And he said, send a car for what? Oh. And I said, for Florrie, so she could identify the body. And he said, what body? What are you talking about?
Well, I felt like a prize idiot. Florrie?
Yeah?
What have you got to say for yourself?
I can explain.
Go on, then.
Keep your voice down.
Don't tell me what to do.
You're wake, Kitty. That's all I meant.
How could you? How could you do it?
I thought it was for the best.
The best?
Yeah. When Jack told me about the two bodies washed up, I thought this is a chance to straighten things out.
You're mad. You've gone mad.
You've got to hear me out, Albert.
Is it true?
No, I don't need to hear you out. You thought if you said to Kitty that Dieter's dead, then she'd forget about him.
No, I...
Well, not forget about him, but stop pining and marry that other bloke. Burlington Bertie. Oh, what are you crying for?
I don't know.
It's not true, is it, Mum?
I just thought it was a chance, you know.
A chance to what?
To give her some peace of mind.
Peace of mind?
So she could stop wondering.
Well, she's been going half mad with sadness. I wouldn't call that peace of mind, would you?
No, of course not. Not now. Not yet, but in time.
You're going to have to tell her.
I am not.
She's got to know that he's alive.
But he's not. He's not alive, is he? He's drowned. Only she won't accept it till there's a body, so I'm doing her a favour. I'm helping her.
How would you feel, eh? If someone lied that they'd seen Sam's body just to give you peace of mind?
Well, that's different. That's completely different.
How is it different?
Because Sam is our son. A son is something else, something more important than...
Than a German.
Oh, I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
Mum?
You, take the washing.
All right.
I need to talk to your father.
Go on, son, do as you're told.
Not that one. This, straight to the Winwoods. Go on.
All right.
Albert, listen to me. This way she can get on with her life. It's a kindness.
But it's not really...
Adam, will you just take the washing and go?
Hello.
Oh, hello, love.
Kitty, sweetheart. How are you feeling?
Hungry.
Hungry, are you? Well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, sit yourself down. Have a bite to eat.
Yeah, sit yourself down, love.
Why are you all looking at me?
What do you mean?
You're all staring at me.
No, we're
don't,
not.
Don't be silly.
No, we weren't staring.
Well, you run along, Adam. Run along. Do as you're told. Why can't you just do as you're told?
Adam! Adam!
What?
What are you doing?
What does it look like?
Where are you taking it?
Vicar's house.
I'll walk with you.
You don't have to.
Don't you want me to? Did you hear about the Deutschland über alles?
What?
Someone wrote Deutschland über alles on the pavement. Twice.
What does that mean?
It means Germany is the best of everyone. Better than the rest of us. Hey!
What?
It's him!
Who?
Mr. Boot.
Where?
There.
Let's follow him.
Yeah, all right.
Come on, he's getting away.
He's probably just going to the console. Careful of the trolley.
I hate this trolley. We're losing him.
No, we're not.
Maybe it was him. Do you think it was him?
What do you mean?
That wrote that thing. Switzerland. What do you call it?
Uber Alice?
Yeah. Do you think it was?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised. There he is.
Where?
At the window.
Right, you stay here.
Where are you going?
I'm going to have a word with him.
What are you
going
to say? Adam?
We know you're in there. We know you're in there.
Adam?
Keep out of this, Jessie. Go across the street.
No, I'm not leaving you.
What have you done, my brother? What have you done with Sam?
Who the hell are you? What do you want?
You kidnapped my brother, and I want him back. And Jimmy, too.
What?
Adam.
Shush, Jessie. Are they in there? Is that where you're keeping them?
Where I keep who?
You know who. Sam and Jimmy.
Who are you?
Adam. Adam Wilson.
Right, I see. And your brother is Sam Wilson, one of the boys who went missing.
Yeah.
Well, I can assure you, Adam, that I had nothing to do with their disappearance. Just because I work at the German consul doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. I'm just a caretaker, that's all.
Let's go, Adam. Come on, let's go.
What about the parcel? What was in it?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Don't lie. Don't tell lies or you'll go to hell.
Young man.
You gave me a parcel and a shilling and told me to hand it to the man at the harbour station. And then the bald man, he gave me 10 shillings, which is a lot of money, a lot of money.
I did no such thing.
I just need to know what was in the parcel.
There was no parcel. And you're the one who'll go to hell for lies if you keep on telling stories. I have things to do. Run along.
Open the door! Open the door!
Please stop, Adam, please.
There was a parcel, there was.
I believe you.
That proves it.
Proves what?
That there was something bad in the parcel.
It might have just been socks or something really, you know, harmless.
Then why did he lie?
Maybe he forgot.
But 10 shillings.
Can we go?
Yeah, all right. It wasn't Dieter, you know.
What wasn't Dieter?
Kitty thinks he's dead, because Mum said she saw him in the morgue, all laid out and drowned. But it wasn't him. She lied to Kitty because she doesn't want her wondering.
Are you going to tell her?
I don't know. I want to. Mum says it's better if Kitty thinks it was Dieter, because then she'll marry Victor.
Victor's very handsome.
Kitty doesn't think so. Kitty prefers Dieter.
But Dieter's dead.
Well, he might be. He might not be.
Adam! Jessie.
Hello, Reverend.
Hello, Reverend.
This is your washing.
Is it?
We're just taking it there now.
Well, thank you. Do you mind my asking, how is Kitty? My wife tells me she's unwell.
She's heartbroken, Reverend.
I see.
That's what it is.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that.
She'll be back at work tomorrow, she said.
Well, I'm sure we can manage if she needs a little longer.
I'll pass it on.
Yes, do that. Thank you.
Do you think liars go to hell, Reverend?
What?
Do you think they do?
No. No, not if they confess their sins to God. Of course not.
Do you confess your sins to God?
Adam?
Do you, Reverend?
Of course I do.
He's not having a good day, you know.
Is there something on your mind, Adam?
Have you noticed when we lie, we get walloped? And when adults lie, we get walloped all over again?
Perhaps you and I should have a talk, Adam?
No offence.
Adam?
I've got to go now.
Adam? Wait!
He's really not having a good day.
Adam! I want to talk to you, please.
Where are you going?
Wait, will you?
You're going the wrong way.
No, I'm not.
This is silly. Just hold on.
You're all liars. All of you.
What are you on about?
My mum, Mr. Boot, and you.
Me?
I think he means me.
What's he doing? What are you doing?
He's throwing my washing into the sea.
You've got to stop him.
I'm sure we can fish it all out.
But his mum will kill him.
Perhaps she doesn't have to know.
Adam, you've got to stop. Stop it! Your mum is going to go mad at you.
Adam, listen to me.
Listen to the vicar.
Adam, I'm sorry if I've upset you.
Vicar?
Yes, Jessie?
Aren't you going to stop him?
No. No, I don't think I am.
This is bad. This is really bad.
When he's calmed down, I shall fish it all out. I shall get someone else to wash it. I'm sure Mrs. Wilson isn't the only woman in Folkestone to take in laundry. And no one else need know anything about this.
But why would you do that?
Because, Jessie, I fear that I am to blame for all of this.
He's crying.
It'll be all right, Adam. It will.
Adam.
Hello, Mum.
You all right?
Yeah.
You look a bit peaky. You feel all right?
Yeah.
That cart wasn't too heavy, was it? I was worried the cart was a bit overloaded for you.
It was all right.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Mrs. Winwood didn't say anything.
No.
But she was happy, was she?
Yeah.
I'm sorry about earlier, sweetheart. I didn't mean to be cross with you. I didn't know what I was saying. I was in such a state. That's what it was. But I've calmed down now. And me and your dad, we've had a long talk, and your dad agrees. We've decided not to tell Kitty. For now. We think it's the best thing, Adam. So don't say nothing, will you? Please.
Le 23 septembre 1914. Madame Otteline Lambert.
Sorry, we're nearly there.
Oh, don't apologize, Miss Graham. Viens, Henri, dépêche-toi.
Is Henri all right?
Yes, he's fine. He's just distracted.
I do hope you like the room.
I'm sure we will.
The owners seem very nice people. Very kind.
But they must be nice to be offering us a room.
I was so pleased when they came to see us. I thought of you two straight away.
Well, you are very kind too.
No, I hated the fact that you were still sleeping on the floor of the church hall.
It wasn't so bad, you know.
It wasn't so good either. This ought to be a great improvement. Here we are, the British Lion.
Oh, it looks nice.
Well, let's see the room first.
Henri, viens, c'est ici.
Bienvenue. Bonjour.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Mr. Pankhurst, owner of the British Lion.
Like the suffragette, only I'm not.
Mr. Pankhurst, this is Monsieur and Madame Lambert.
Very pleased to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you too.
Well, come in, come in. Don't stand on ceremony. Come and take a look at the place. Just through here. There you are. Hope you like it. Nothing fancy, but it's nice and clean. And the bed is comfy.
It looks lovely, Mr. Pankhurst.
Oh, the flowers are nice.
That was the missus, not me. But I thought it was a nice touch.
What about you, monsieur? Cette chambre vous plaît?
Elle est pour nous, Henri. On va habiter ici. On n'aura plus à dormir par terre.
Do you think you'll be all right in here?
Yes, yes, definitely. It seems very comfortable.
You're welcome to use the kitchen, naturally.
But you can still come to the centre for meals, if you prefer.
Thank you. You are all very kind.
Not at all. Not at all. We've got to look after each other in times like these, haven't we?
Oh, thank you.
Was that Monsieur Sauté? I think it was just the cellar.
Yes, that's the cellar, where we keep the beer.
Of course, yes. C'est rien, mon chéri. Ça vient de la cave. C'est rien du tout, hein?
What can I get you?
White loaf and two Chelsea buns.
Jessie.
Madame Lambert.
Oh, Jessie, I'm very sorry to trouble you.
What's wrong?
I've lost Monsieur Lambert.
Again?
We are staying in this new place, a public house. It's very nice, very clean, but it is loud when it gets busy. And then there's this banging from the cellar door. So I said to him, I told Henri, you will get used to it, but he has run away. I thought he might have come here.
We haven't seen him.
Can I have my loaf, please?
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me.
Sorry. And the Chelsea buns? That's fourpence, please. Thanks.
Well, I don't know where else to look for him.
Maybe I can help. I know lots of places he used to go to. Wait a minute. Mum, can I go out?
You're supposed to be minding the shop.
Can you do it?
I'm in the kitchen. Oh, hello, Madame Lambert. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, thank you, Mrs. Moore.
Monsieur Lambert, well, he's gone missing, and I'm the only one who can find him. Please, can I go and help her?
Well, yes, of course you can. I mean, if you'd explain...
You didn't give me a chance.
Go and find him.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
Looking for laces. He's gone missing.
Again?
He ran away from the new place we are staying. It's very loud there. I think it scared him.
I thought he might have come here. He came here a lot. He used to sit there and look out to sea. I haven't seen him, and I've been sitting here quite a while.
Well, thank you anyway.
Where else would he go?
I don't know.
Adam, can you think of anywhere?
Did we see him at the graveyard sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't tried the graveyard.
All right.
I'll come with you.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I've got nothing else to do.
Henri! Henri!
Have your mum and dad told Kitty yet? About Dieter?
No.
Are they going to tell her?
I don't know. I think all grown-ups are mad.
There he is!
Yes! Yes, it's him!
I told you we'd find him here.
Oh, Henri, j'étais si inquiète, je te cherchais partout.
What's the matter with him? How should I know?
Why can't he speak?
I don't know.
I'm going to ask her.
Don't.
I mean, did he ever speak or has he got no tongue?
Shh!
I just want to know.
Allons-y. He doesn't want to move.
Why doesn't he want to go?
He doesn't want to live in this public house.
Oh.
Can't Miss Graham find somewhere else for you to live?
I don't know. She's been so kind already. I don't want to keep asking her for things.
Come to the bakery. You don't have to go straight back to that place you don't like.
I don't want to trouble your parents either.
They won't mind. Come and have a cup of tea at least. And a bun. We've got loads of buns. Come on, monsieur.
Elle a raison, hein?
Right, Monsieur Lambert. Now, we make all the cakes and the bread here right in the bakery
kitchen. There you go, Madame Lambert. I say you could do with it.
Oh, thank you.
Will I pour for Monsieur Lambert?
Yes, please.
A selection of cakes as well. Now, Moore's Bakery.
Thank you.
Listen to Ernie. He's talking the ears off poor Monsieur. Love. He can't understand you. He's Belgian, you know.
Henri speaks quite good English, actually.
Does he? Oh, I didn't realise.
Also, Henri is very interested because actually he is a pâtissier.
A what?
A pâtissier, a boulanger, a baker, like you.
Is he? We didn't know that. Did Jessie know that?
No, I don't think I told her. Henri, Madame Moore t'a versé une tasse de thé. Je viens de leur dire que t'es pâtissier. Ils ne savaient pas. I was just explaining to Monsieur Lambert that you didn't know he was a baker. Henri, qu'est-ce que tu fais?
What's he doing?
He wants to make something for you. A pain au chocolat, I think.
Oh, yeah. Pain au chocolat. We've heard of them, but we've never tried one, did we?
I'm sorry. I tell him to stop.
No, no, don't. I'd like to see how it's done. You carry on.
Jessie tells me it was the noise of the pub that frightened him.
Yes.
What were they thinking of, sending you there?
It was fine, but not for Henri. Not the way he is.
Do you mind me asking?
No. Go on.
Did he ever speak?
Ernie?
What am I asking?
Yes. Yes, he can speak. I mean, he used to speak like everybody else.
So what happened?
Well,
you don't have to talk about it, madame.
It's all right. It's because of the... of what happened to him.
What happened to him?
We were supposed to catch a train. The last train out of town. We knew the soldiers were coming. We hid in our cellar with our sons. We were discovered, and the Germans, they took Henri and our two sons away. And I didn't know what to do, so I just waited. I waited for them to come back. I waited for 2 days. Then Henri returned alone. He was badly beaten, but at least he was alive.
What about your sons?
They are dead.
Oh, Ottilien.
I don't even know. I don't know why Henri is alive and they are dead. Because he doesn't speak. I don't know the whole story. I don't think he can say it, actually. But I know they are dead. I know that they were shot. And he wasn't...
I'm so sorry.
Then we left. We left everything, and we walked for days.
What a terrible thing.
We brought Miss Graham. She says she can easily find somewhere else for you to live.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
This is Anona. Please, take a seat.
Oh, no, no, don't get up. And, madame, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault, Miss Graham.
It was the cellar door's fault.
Oh, it wasn't just the cellar door. It was a lot of people once the public house was open. You know, it was just loud.
We'll find you something else, of course.
Hey, I've got it.
Go on.
They should come and live here.
Really?
Oh, we can't do that. Oh, we can't impose ourselves.
Well, we got the room and we could use the help. And the man's a baker, for goodness sake.
Is he?
Is that why he picked the cake apart?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, madame? Would you like to come and live with us?
Oh, we'd love to.
Henri's a patisserie?
A patissier, yes.
Yeah, so he could do all the fancy Belgian cakes that all the homesick Belgians are wishing they could eat.
He could, of course.
Well, this really is a marvellous solution.
Henri, guess what? You're coming to live with us.
Henri, on va pouvoir rester ici. Tu vas pouvoir travailler ici.
I really am delighted.
So am I.
Do you understand, Henri? Do you understand that you can live here?
J'aimerais toujours le temps des cerises. C'est de ce temps-là que je garde au cœur une plaie ouverte. Et dame fortune en m'étant offerte ne pourra jamais calmer ma douleur. J'aimerais toujours le temps des cerises et le souvenir que je garde au cœur.
The 24th of September, 1914. Sylvia Graham.
What exactly is the problem?
You, my dear, you are the problem.
Me?
You aren't well.
Nonsense. There's absolutely nothing wrong with me.
Oh, darling.
What? It's true. Look at me. I'm the picture of health.
You know exactly what I'm referring to.
Ah, but I don't, you see.
Gabriel.
Do I have a fever, a chill, cough, cold, touch of the sniffles? No, the answer is no. None of the above.
You really are being quite difficult.
Well, that's not my intention, not my intention at all. I simply wanted to attend this evening's event with my wonderful wife, an event which is honouring the sterling work you've done on behalf of the Belgian refugees.
Well, the whole affair is not just for me, darling.
Oh, come on, it is really. You raised all the damn money.
Well, plenty of women did their bit in other ways.
But no one would have been able to do anything without the funds, would they?
Anyway, the point is...
Point is that I should be there, beside you. What will people think if I'm not?
What will they think if you are?
What's that supposed to mean?
Your behaviour recently has been odd. Very odd.
I don't think anyone else thinks so.
Wait a moment. Just wait a moment.
Where are you going?
Isabel? Isabel, will you come here?
What's wrong?
I need your help.
Well, I'll help you. What do you need help with?
You!
Whatever's the matter?
Will you talk some sense into your father?
What do you want me to say?
Explain to him why he cannot attend this evening's event.
Why? Do you want to attend?
Yes, I damn well do.
Do you have to swear like that, darling? You sound like a common soldier.
How would you know?
What's that supposed to mean?
When have you ever met a common soldier in your whole life?
Mother, if Father feels well enough to attend this evening...
Isabel?
Well?
I am, after all, a man of some standing in this town. At least I think I am. I mean, I am, aren't I?
Of course you are. And if you think you're sufficiently recovered, well, that's marvellous.
I was expecting you to be on my side.
It isn't a question of sides, Mother.
It is, actually.
He does seem to be in good spirits.
I'm in excellent spirits.
You do seem very... buoyant, I must say.
Buoyant! Yes, that's it. I feel buoyant.
Well, if you must attend this evening, I should still like to deliver your speech for you.
Nonsense, nonsense. I shall deliver my own speech. And there are some details I should like to add. Details I imagine people will find very inspiring. Can I read you something, darling?
Well,
Of course.
You too, Isabel. I'd like you to listen. Now, where did I put my newspaper? Yes, there's something I want to read out this evening. Hold on a moment. Let me find the right page. Here we are. Officer previously reported killed, now unofficially reported a prisoner of war. Williams, Captain, ASRAMC. Do you hear that?
Yes.
Yeah, this one is very good indeed. Officer previously reported missing, now unofficially reported a prisoner of war. Lander, Lieutenant, JLRAMC. Isn't that the most wonderful thing?
I don't understand.
It means, my dear girl, that there is hope. That there is always hope. And that is what I want to convey to the Belgians in my speech. That we do not know. Sometimes those we are told are lost may still be with us. Miracles do happen. The Lord is good. And there's even a chance that our own dear boy is alive somewhere. Imagine that, alive and well, sitting and chatting to some kraut about the weather. Imagine. I can't tell you how good it felt reading that newspaper. It was like a shot of happiness to the heart.
And that's why. That's why you're in such good spirit.
Aren't you? Aren't you made happier to read something like this? Oh. Freddy may be alive. That's a thought worth celebrating, isn't it?
But he probably isn't. He almost certainly isn't.
This is where the hope comes in, not giving up, the stiff upper lip. And that's what I shall say this evening to all the Belgians.
I think you ought to go back to bed.
Why?
I'm sorry, Father, but I think perhaps Mother is right.
You wanted me to cheer up. Now I've cheered up. You want me to be miserable?
Of course we don't want you to be miserable.
But the doctor said lots of rest and no excitement.
Well, sounds extremely dull.
It is also a recipe for recovery.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Please, Father, stay at home. Mother will manage your speech perfectly well. And I don't think you're ready to be addressing crowds of people.
Why? Tell me one good reason why.
Because we know that Freddy has died. We know he's not coming back. That there hasn't been a mistake. Mother and I know that to be a fact. And you don't. And you ought to. And you really can't go around telling Belgian people that their dead loved ones might be alive. It's presumptuous.
I see.
I'm sorry, Father.
Will you ask Hilary about Kitchener?
Kitchener?
He went to Shorncliffe at the weekend.
Oh, yes.
I wanted to meet him. I wanted to talk to him, but Hilary thought it best not. He thought like you.
Well, we'll be sure to inquire, Father.
What am I supposed to do with myself all evening?
Rest.
Read a book.
I don't like books.
Don't be absurd.
It's true. Don't like the smell of the pages. Prefer a newspaper.
Goodness, what a turnout.
Who are all these people?
There's Mrs. Winwood.
Where? Oh, yes.
I must say she's rather grown on me, the vicar's wife. I used to think she was an odd creature. One hardly ever saw her, for one thing. But now I find her quite charming. Has something happened to her?
I suppose there's the baby. The baby's made her happier, I think.
Yes, she does seem to love it, so.
It's a he.
What?
The baby is a boy, not an it.
What are you talking about?
Mrs. Graham? Miss Graham, how are you?
Oh, we're very well, thank you.
Is Councillor Graham here tonight?
I'm afraid not.
Mother will be delivering a speech on his behalf.
My husband isn't at all well.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, he was most disappointed, but it can't be helped. I shall do my best not to let him down.
I'm sure you'll do a marvellous job.
Ah, Mrs. Graham. Miss Graham. Mrs. Winwood.
Hilary.
Is Councillor Graham here?
He decided to stay at home.
Really?
But he was keen to know how Kitchener's visit to Shorncliffe went at the weekend.
To the best of my knowledge, it went very well.
Good, good.
He was impressed by what he saw.
Father will be delighted to hear that.
It's all good for morale, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Where is Rafe?
There he is.
talking to the mayor.
Oh, yes. I'd better go and join him. Will you excuse me?
Of course.
You look remarkably well this evening, Miss Graham, if you don't mind my saying so.
Thank you.
You do, actually. You have a bit of colour for once. My daughter does lack colour, Hilary.
Well, not this evening. So then, if you'd like to follow me, I can show you to your table.
These past few weeks, we have shown our true mettle. We have demonstrated the real meaning of what it is to be a caring community. As always, the women of Folkestone are here to serve and support our men. And in that, we will not be found wanting.
Hello, darling.
Councillor.
My wife doesn't usually address me as Councillor, just so we all know. She usually calls me Gabriel. Because that's my name.
I wanted to speak to you.
Well, yes,
I wanted to see you. It couldn't wait.
Well,
how's it going, the speech business?
All right, yes.
Yeah, well, carry on by all means. Don't let me interrupt. We can speak after.
Perhaps you'd like to sit down. Yeah, Councillor, next to me.
Oh, that's very good. Very good of you.
And, in conclusion, I would like to thank you for having me here this evening. It has been both a privilege and an honour. Thank you. Oh, good heavens.
Are you all right?
I have to get some air. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed.
You've no need to be, really.
Your father caused a scene.
I wouldn't call it a scene.
Standing up there, I felt mortified.
Please don't tell him off.
Gabriel?
Just a moment, darling.
And they took him away and we haven't seen
him. We haven't heard a word.
Maybe he's in a camp.
Maybe he's alive.
But we don't know.
Oh, that's very difficult, very difficult.
I had this dream, actually, that he came back to us.
Did you really? Oh, goodness. It made you feel better, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was a comfort.
Yes. I dreamed that my son kissed me goodnight. He appeared at the foot of the bed and he said, "Just wanted to say goodnight, Father." And then he kissed me on the top of my head.
That's nice. That's a nice dream.
Yes.
But we know that he's dead. We know he's gone, and that's good, in a way, because it prevents false hope, you know?
Yes.
Gabriel, may I speak to you now?
This woman here, her name is Marie.
Hello.
This is her husband, Pierre.
Good evening.
This is my wife, Sylvia.
How do you do?
A pleasure to meet you.
Yes.
Her father was taken away by the Germans, and she doesn't know where he is. And that must be a terrible thing. But we know what happened to Freddy. I was just saying that we know Freddy's dead, don't we? And that's why I came here tonight, darling, to tell you that you were right. And I was wrong.
The 25th of September, 1914. Mrs. Dorothea Winwood.
That's it. Oh, good boy. Oh, you're such a good boy.
How are you getting on, Kitty?
I was eating nearly all of this rice pudding.
Oh, that's good. Cook will have to make that again.
Kitty, did you polish my shoes?
Marika did them.
Well, where are they?
Sorry, I don't know.
Marika!
Don't bellow, darling.
Oh, sorry.
Hello, yes?
What did you do with the Reverend's shoes after you polished them?
They are in the old
house. And did you press his jacket?
It's here.
Thank you.
Mathieu, you have eaten all that?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Oh, Mathieu, you are really better, huh?
It's Matthew.
Sorry?
His name is Matthew now.
Of course, I forget sometimes.
Please try and remember.
Sorry.
Well, perhaps we ought to be leaving. We don't want to miss Mrs. Pankhurst, do you?
Excuse me, who is Mrs. Pankhurst?
Oh, did you hear about that woman who threw herself under the king's horse?
No.
Mrs. Pankhurst believes in woman's suffrage.
In what?
She wants women to have the same rights as men, to have the vote.
Oh.
Yes, and she and her friends take some rather extreme measures to try and achieve their aims.
Like the woman who threw herself under a horse. Does she die, you know?
It's about equality. Egalite.
Of course, in the eyes of God, we are all equal.
Just not in the eyes of men.
You don't approve of her any more than I do.
I don't know what I think of her. I don't approve or disapprove. I think it's a shame that woman had to die.
She's probably mad, anyway.
Oh, well, that's all right, then.
I wasn't saying it was all right.
It sounded as if you were.
Of course not. Keep the fire stoked up, Kitty. There's a bit of a chill out.
And, Marika, could you get rid of those dead flowers on the mantel, please?
Yes, Mrs. Winwood.
Nothing is more terrible than wars of aggression. But I believe that now we are engaged in a righteous war. For some time now, Germany has been preparing to take possession of Europe. The Kaiser regards himself as a 20th century Napoleon, intent on replacing our British Empire with a German one. And we must, as a nation, see to it that just as Napoleon fell at the Battle of Waterloo, the Kaiser falls too. There are times when it is right to fight, and that time is now. Yes. So I am appealing to the men of Folkestone. Sign up to Mr. Kitchener's army. Go into battle as the knights fall.
Well. Very impressive speech.
It's very impressive.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, I believe Mrs. Pankhurst is happy to take questions. Is that right?
Certainly. I have a question.
Yes, madam. Please state your name and proceed.
Well, I think everyone knows who I am, but I will honour the form, naturally. My name is Mrs. Sylvia Graham. Mrs. Pankhurst, on behalf of the town of Folkestone, I'd like very much to thank you for taking the time and making the effort to come here tonight. And if I may, I'd like to congratulate you on a fine, uplifting speech. Thank you. I would also like to say, Mrs. Pankhurst, that it is indeed heartening to see that you have abandoned certain of your more, let us say, extreme views in relation to suffrage and such matters.
I beg your pardon.
Well, it appears that you no longer regard our government with anything like the same aggressive hostility. Clearly, there's been a change of heart. Mrs. Graham, it is perfectly true that until the war broke out, we were engaged in our own singular kind of war. But we were never fighting our country. We were fighting for our country. Thus, I believe we were engaged in a battle just as righteous as the one we are now fighting against Germany.
Absolute tosh!
Why should women who work hard to take care of their families, who give an enormous amount to their community, who make extraordinary contributions to this country's good, why should they be denied a voice?
Come on to your husband.
Denied a vote.
Absolutely.
While their husbands may speak freely.
Babbage! It's nature. Oh,
quite simply because the men are in charge.
Quite right.
That's the order of things. And I see no necessity to go changing things for the sake of change itself.
Yes.
Mrs. Graham, if you see something happening that you believe to be wrong, to be unjust, what do you do?
What do I do?
You take a stand, do you not? Whether you're a man or a woman, you try to change the situation in any way you can.
Yes, but in this case, I see nothing wrong.
Perhaps that is where our opinions differ, Mrs. Graham. I am standing by what I believe. I can do nothing else. Besides, the point of this evening's gathering is not for me to campaign for women's suffrage. It is an appeal to the hearts of men, who I know love our country as much as I do. If we lose this war, then not only do we lose all hope of winning the vote for women, but voting for men will become a thing of the past.
I'm not sure if Mrs. Pankhurst was too happy with Mrs. Graham's questions.
I'm not sure if Mrs. Graham was too happy with Mrs. Pankhurst's answers.
It's one thing to hear about a person's ideas, but
It's quite another to see them. See them speak of those things, those ideas, to see them speak passionately and with conviction. I found myself really quite moved by her.
Well, she is impressive.
But I found myself convinced, Rafe. I mean, it suddenly seems absurd that women don't have the right to vote. You know, it's almost laughable.
Really?
You didn't feel that way?
No. No, I didn't.
Mrs. Winwood.
Mrs. Graham.
Did you make of all that, then?
We were impressed. Well, I was.
I was impressed, too.
With reservations.
I don't believe suffrage is as big an issue as she likes to make out.
Indeed. And she does like to make a song and dance.
She's trying to change the world. How can you do that quietly?
Look what Mrs. Pankhurst has done to your wife's mind.
No doubt it'll wear off.
Wear off?
She's certainly a fine orator, but it's not that difficult if you have someone clever to write your speech for you.
You don't think she wrote it herself?
A patriotic speech like that? Hardly, Mrs. Winwood, hardly. You can be absolutely sure some bright young spark in the ministry composed the best parts of it.
We could ask her.
We can't ask her that.
Why not?
Dorothea.
I'd like to know.
And while she might profess to be on our side in some areas, I still say she is not to be trusted.
Not to be trusted with what?
With anything.
Look out, I think Hillary's bringing her over here.
Oh, good grief.
I'd like to meet her.
This is the Reverend Mr. Winwood and his wife, Mrs. Winwood.
How do you do? It's a great pleasure to meet you, Mrs. Pankhurst.
And this, of course, is the Right Honourable Mrs. Graham.
Ah, yes. How do you do?
I'm very well, thank you.
Mrs. Winwood, I hear that you've adopted a refugee child.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right.
Well, I think that's wonderful.
Well, it just seemed like the right thing to do. He didn't have anyone in the world, and I couldn't bear to see him put in a children's home or something like that.
But still, others might not have shown such generosity to a child they knew nothing of.
I think you'll find this kind of selfless sacrifice is typical of the women of Folkestone. You won't find the women of Folkestone smashing windows in the Houses of Parliament.
Sometimes, in a righteous war, extreme measures are necessary.
But don't you see how you alienate people with such behaviour? And not just the men. I believe that discretion is the better part of valour. So much can be more effectively achieved behind the scenes, as it were.
Well, I think there's no prospect that you and I will agree on this matter, Mrs. Graham. I just wanted to come over here and congratulate Mrs. Winwood. Caring for a child. Vital women's work often goes unnoticed. But the truth is that women like yourself are raising the next generation, and without your love and care, society would simply come to a standstill. Congratulations, Mrs. Winwood.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
I think Mayor Penfold would like to meet you, Mrs. Pankhurst.
Oh, sir.
Well, I never. Such appalling manners.
Well, perhaps. With respect, you ought not to have mentioned the Houses of Parliament.
That is the kind of behaviour she has endorsed. And she'd be out there smashing windows now if there wasn't a war on.
Well, she was very nice about Matthew.
She hardly spoke a civil word to me.
I don't think she intended to be rude.
I have to say, this evening has done nothing but reinforce my original opinions.
She's such a battle axe sometimes.
Who?
Mrs. Graham. But you agree with her.
I didn't say that.
You think Mrs. Pankhurst is making a fuss about nothing.
I didn't say that either.
I'm just going to check on Matthew.
All right.
Rafe?
Yes?
Can you come here?
What's the matter?
I can't see him breathing.
What?
Can you see? Is he breathing?
Just put your hand on his chest.
I am.
He's breathing.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, Matthew.
You'll wake him up.
Hello, darling. Hello, baby. I just thought...
Oh, now he's awake.
He's all right. You're all right, aren't you?
Shall I get Marika to take him?
No. It's fine.
Well, I fancy a bit of supper. Shall I get her to make us a sandwich?
Why don't you do it?
Me?
All you have to do is slice and butter two pieces of bread. There's ham in the larder and tomatoes. You could do that, couldn't you?
Well, yes, of course I could, but why can't I ask Marika?
Because it's late, and she does so much for us.
Well, we pay her, and we give her bed and board.
Rafe.
All right, but I'm not taking you to see Mrs. Pankhurst again.
It's too late. The damage is already done.
The 26th of September, 1914. Lieutenant Victor Lumley.
And Kitty Wilson.
Kitty! Kitty!
Kitty, didn't you hear me?
I heard you.
You didn't stop?
I'm trying to get him to sleep.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know what's the matter with him. Marika says maybe it's his teeth. Babies, honestly. Are you supposed to know what's wrong with him?
I don't know. I've no idea. What can I do?
You could hold the dog?
Oh, yes, all right.
It's not easy pushing the pram and walking the dog. I thought we'd have got the hang of it by now, but no.
How is he? Cush?
I think he's gone deaf.
Deaf?
Just in the one ear.
From the shooting?
I think so.
Oh, poor Cush.
I know.
I still feel badly about that.
It wasn't your fault.
I should have stopped him, Freddy.
Well, no point dwelling on that.
That's true.
Oh, shh, come on, Matthew, come on.
I could sing to him.
Do you know any songs?
I could sing him an army song.
Yes, all right, go on.
Nights are growing very lonely. Days are very long. I'm a growing weary only. Listening for your song. Old remembrances are thronging through my memory.
He's listening.
Till it seems the world is full of dreams, just to call you back to me. There's a long, long trail of winding into the land of my dreams.
He's dying.
Where the nightingales are singing and the white moonbeams. There's a long, long night awaiting until my dreams all come true.
It's gone.
Till the day when I'll be going down that long, long trail with you.
That was beautiful. Thank you. It did the job.
Well, I know, I'm rather pleased about that. Listen, Kitty.
Don't go all serious.
I have to.
Why?
Because I have some news.
What's that then?
The doctor has said I can go to France.
Already?
I'll be leaving next week.
You shouldn't go. Not yet.
They need men. Officers.
Yes, but not if you're not ready.
I am ready, though. In my head and my heart.
But not in your shoulder. It's not funny.
If we're going to get married...
Which we're not.
But if we were, then we need to get organised.
Well, this is where we met. Do you remember?
That modelling. Oh, that was mortifying. But I keep a photo of us in my wallet.
Can I see?
Yes, of course.
Oh, we look so elegant.
And happy.
They're only put on smiles.
Could we sit on a bench here for a minute?
I don't know. I don't want Mrs. Wimmer coming along and accusing me of neglecting my duties.
I'm sure it'll be all right.
She's worn me off you, you know.
What?
Well, your aunt came round to the vicarage and said she was worried I was after you.
When?
The other day. I was a bit embarrassed to tell you, really.
She had no right. I adore Aunt Sylvia, but honestly...
She's just trying to look after you. Make sure you don't get your head turned by someone disgraceful like me.
Kitty.
Well, I'm right, though, aren't I?
Your mother said she had a long talk with you and there's a chance you might reconsider. Is that right?
Yes, maybe. There's a woman married to a German. He's gone. Back to Germany, and she didn't realise that she'd have to register as German as well. But being married would actually make her German too. It's in the paper this morning. She was arrested and everything. I thought that could have been me. If we did get married...
Yes.
On the night of our wedding, Would you expect the things that a man should expect?
You mean...
Yes.
No.
Really?
Absolutely not.
But most soldiers going away, they would expect that. They just would.
But with us, with you, it's different.
Because I'm pregnant?
Partly that, yes. That's a large part of it.
This is going to sound terrible, right?
What?
The thing is for me, Victor, you're like a brother to me. A really posh brother. But I don't want to insult you. I can't think about you like I think about Dieter. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want to deceive you, because you should marry someone who does feel that way about you. Everyone should, if they possibly can.
It's all right.
What's all right?
Believe it or not, you're like a sister to me.
Really?
Yes.
A really common sister.
I didn't say that.
Don't you want to marry someone you're in love with?
I don't know anyone I'm in love with.
Well, you just haven't met them yet.
And I might never.
Of course you will. You will in the end.
Kitty, I might be dead in a few months' time.
Don't say that.
Look at poor Freddy.
Just because Freddy died doesn't mean that...
You know, he was a much finer soldier than me. If Freddy couldn't make it past the first hurdle, then what chance is there for the rest of us?
Oh, Victor.
I'm just being realistic about the odds. And this way, before I die, I can help someone. I can help you. I worry what's going to happen when your child is born.
I'm sure I'll manage.
Has Mrs. Winwood said anything about the baby?
I've got to tell her.
And what will happen when you do?
Well, I suppose she'll fire me.
And then what?
Look, I don't want to ruin your life, all right? I don't. I can ruin my own, but not yours.
Kitty, you wouldn't be ruining my life. You'd be helping me.
How?
In the army, everyone knows everyone else's business. We all live together in close proximity, and people, men, like to talk about women. And if you're married, you're not expected to talk in the same way. And it's not just talk. One of my fellow officers, he was always trying to make me see someone. Prostitute. And I didn't want to. And he went on. And then one day I told him that I had a girl and we were engaged. And I showed him the photograph of you and me. He was jealous. Said I was a lucky man. And your photograph, the two of us together, it silenced him. It was like magic.
I see.
I know I oughtn't to have lied.
It's all right.
But it just occurred to me and I said it. And he stopped badgering me. And it's not just men either. My Aunt Sylvia is forever trying to arrange meetings with young ladies of suitable backgrounds, and they aren't interested in me anyway because I don't have money. That's another thing you should know. I'm not a rich man. I have my commission and my education, and that's it. But these ghastly situations are played out repeatedly. I feel like a cow at market. I don't want to marry these women, and when they understand I have no money, they don't want me either. And it's so awkward. I can't laugh it off. Like Freddy. Freddy found it all completely hilarious. He found life hilarious. And he was damn good at it. Life, I mean.
I'm sorry that he's gone.
So am I. Does that explain it at all?
Yes, I think so. I think it does, yes.
I should explain something else.
What's that?
My mother wasn't married to my father.
Oh.
So this situation, your situation, it isn't new to me.
Oh, right.
He was killed before they could marry. In Egypt, I think, or the Sudan. He was an army officer. There was some local trouble. I don't know a great deal about it, to tell the truth, because my mother rarely talked of him. Anyway, he was killed before they could marry, and the scandal of my arrival... Well, it broke my mother. My aunts tell me she was quite the belle of the ball at one time. And that she used to love to laugh. Which I find hard to believe.
Go on.
I honestly think she died of a broken heart. I keep her photograph here in my pocket watch.
Can I see? Oh, she looks just like you.
I know.
I'm so sorry, Victor. I truly am.
I don't want you to suffer like she did.
That's very good of you.
But that's why I have no money. I'm illegitimate. I'm not entitled to anything, and it's why my Aunt Sylvia is constantly trying to marry me off.
But, I mean, you can see her point.
Money isn't important to me. I have an income from my commission. You would have a wife's allowance. There's just no inheritance waiting for us. And, well, I suppose I want you to know that you wouldn't be marrying into money.
No, but I'd be marrying well above my station. What would your relatives say? They won't like it, Victor.
No, they won't, but what can they do? They certainly can't cut me off, because there's nothing to cut me off from. I've got nothing to lose, Kitty.
You're a good man.
I don't know about that. I do need to make two requests.
All right.
One is that you never tell anyone the child isn't mine.
Of course.
Two, it must always appear to the outside world that the marriage is real.
All right. Yes, of course.
If I live, I want someone to come home to. You don't have to be a wife. You could be a friend and your baby could have a father.
I'm running out of reasons to say no.
Is that a yes?
My dad always says never look a gift horse in the mouth. Still don't understand what it actually means. Well, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You've convinced me that it's the right thing for you as well as me. So the answer's yes, Lieutenant Lumley. I would be delighted and honoured to marry you.
In Homefront this week, Adam was played by Leo Montague, Ottoline by Ruth Laths, Sylvia by Deborah Finlay, Dorothea by Rachel Shelley, Victor by Joel McCormack and Kitty by Amy Metcalf. Homefront was story-led by Katie Himms and written by Katie Himms and Sean Moffat. It was directed in our Birmingham studios by Lucy Collingwood and the editor is Jessica Drumgoole.